Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
If faith is a journey, how did yours begin? When did it begin? Where did it begin? Do you remember? Not just when you started going to church, if you started going to church. Not just when you were baptized, if you were baptized. Not just when you were confirmed, if you were confirmed. No, all of those might have been touchstones, mile markers along the journey of faith or not. So, if it did, how did yours begin? When do you remember taking your first step on the journey of faith? My parents sang in the choir at Aldersgate United Methodist Church in Olathe, Kansas, which amongst other things, they still do, by the way, which amongst other things meant that they had to go to both services every Sunday, and worse, so did I. My friend Benji and his sister, whose parents also sang in the choir, would most Sundays sit next to me and my sisters. That is, except for those few years when they moved to England. Long story. The point is, most Sundays, we sat next to each other, trusting that our parents would let us know if, on the off chance, our game of bulletin tic-tac-toe got out of hands. Someone would let us know. It happens to the best of us. Maybe it started there. I don't know. See, there was no altar call moment for me. No moment in which I shrugged off my pagan clothing and put on the clothes of faith. No. It just sort of happened. Somehow, in that safe space, in that sacred space, in that little church where I could ask big questions, almost miraculously, I took that first step of faith. I came to understand the grace of God made known in Jesus Christ. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. There were other touchstone moments along the way, of course, that Christmas Eve when one of the bases, not my father, thank goodness, decided to raise his candle during Silent Night and inadvertently lit the banner above him on fire. That Sunday, my sisters and I, for some reason, decided to sit in the very first pew and were laughing and joking and having a merry old time during Reverend Despay's sermon, missing the glaring look from our mothers, only to have someone else step in and calm us down. Or that day when my church hosted an AIDS conference and had protesters on their way. And the new bishop of our church, whose sons had both died of AIDS, and at whose funeral those same protesters had showed up and were shouting, "Your son is burning in hell," that same bishop looked at us, group of youth, and he said, "There's another way to be a Christian." Somewhere along the way, I took that first step of faith. When did you take yours? Have you taken yours? Today is Confirmation Sunday. In a moment, we will have 9 young people come forward and confirm their faith. They will take one step on the journey of faith. Maybe for some it will be a big step. Maybe for some it will be a small. We pray that for none it will be their last. But we know for none it will be the first step of faith. That's the thing. Our first step is never the first step. That's the gift, isn't it? That our faith is a part of a bigger faith, a broader faith, that we don't create the journey of faith, we join it, in part because of the grace of God, which is already ours, but in part because we know that others have already walked this path. We know that others have come before us. Sure, we all have our own meandering routes we take to step onto that path of faith, and maybe we'll find some paths along the way that we never knew were there, but it doesn't change the fact that none of us have started this journey on our own. In other words, it's important to think about the how of faith and the when and the where, but what about the who? Who is it that walked alongside you in the faith? Who taught you the way of life made known in Jesus Christ? Who was it that brought you thus far, and who has stayed with you? I went to church in part because my parents had taken that step before me. It makes sense. That happens to many of us, not quite to all of us. It does turn out that the number one predictor of faith in young people is the faith of their parents, which makes sense. The people we love, we either rebel against or we embrace whole hog, but it makes sense that we would find it something important in our own life. If we see our parents, the people we love, interacting with faith in a way that makes a difference in their life, then why wouldn't we step forward in it? It doesn't always work that way. In the absence of our parents, there are other meaningful adults that take that place. There are other meaningful people who walk alongside us for a moment in faith. Maybe you've thought about a few along your path. In part, that's why the intergenerational musical from a couple of weeks ago was so important. Not just because of the production itself, which was pretty great. I know I'm biased. But because you have suddenly 100 people who now have one another on the journey of faith. The production wasn't the important part, the journey to get there was the important part. And now we have people they can walk alongside. They have people they can walk alongside in the faith. Who has walked alongside you on the journey of faith? Once you start to look back, it's hard to know where to stop, isn't it? I mean, my parents joined the choir in part because my dad's mother sang in the choir as well. Why did she join the choir? I never thought to ask. But presumably somebody shared the faith with her who had shared it with them, and somebody had shared it with them. And if you keep going back far enough, generation to generation to generation, eventually you'll land at the story we find ourselves in today in our gospel lesson so beautifully read by Sean. Maybe you heard it. It's the moment, maybe not the first step of faith, but a pretty big one. It's that moment when Jesus steps off the path in body, if not in spirit, and asks the disciples to take it from there. The lesson comes from the Gospel of John, which, as we remembered together last week, is the last gospel written in the late 1st century, early 2nd century, enough time for them to have kind of messed some things up and to try and remind each other of how they find their way forward. In particular, John's gospel was trying to remind each other that Jesus may not be coming back in the same way you thought he was coming back, which meant that they had to take it from there. We can hear it in the passage for today. The hour has come. What you have told me, I have told them. The words you have given me, I have given to them. I am yours, yours are mine. We are trying to get them to go together. Only this doesn't happen in John's gospel in the Garden of Gethsemane as it does in the other gospels. In other words, it's not Jesus praying silently while the disciples, like a sermon, are trying to not fall asleep. It is a moment in which Jesus is sitting at the same dinner table with these disciples. And he's having a conversation with God. He's already washed their feet and given them a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you, so you also ought to love one another. And he's telling them, it's your turn to take it from here. The very next chapter, the very next scene in John's gospel, is Jesus being arrested and crucified, which means that besides one brief moment in which Jesus, the risen Christ, comes and again sends his disciples out, "If you love me, feed my sheep," they were on their own from there, if not alone. From that moment on, they had to choose whether to take this faith on for themselves or not. We get it, don't we? We, of course, are faced with the same choice. Each of us has our own path to find our way on to that journey of faith. Sometimes it's more meandering than others. Maybe some of us have been told our whole lives that it can only look one particular way. It has to look this way, and if it doesn't, then maybe we're not on the path. Or maybe we've been told that there's not room on that journey of faith for us. Or maybe there's not room for the people that we love. But the thing is, there is room for all on the journey of faith. And we mean all, young and old, black and white, gay and straight, male and female, rich and poor, broken and whole, Republican and Democrat, trans and cis, and everyone beyond and between. There is room for all on the journey of faith, not for some, but for all. That is, the road of faith has many lanes, but it turns out it is just one way. That is, of course, the way of love. Not some people, but of all people. And if we can walk in that way, we are following the way of Christ. Do you hear? The way of love is the way of Christ. I am the way and the truth and the life. Which means, of course, that if we have been willing to commit to love even once in our life, we have already taken that first step. We are gathered here this morning to remind each other that nobody has to take the next step alone. If you are willing to take that step of faith, that step of love, if you are willing to step out in love, then you are already on the journey of faith. But you don't have to be on it alone. In a moment, 9 confirmands will come forward and confirm their faith, but they will not be confirming it alone. They are here so that if they stumble or if they fall on the journey of life, as happens to the best of us from time to time, have we heard that somewhere before? That we will help get them on their feet again, and we are asking them for the same thing, that if we stumble or if we fall, as happens to the best of us, that you help get us on our feet again, so that together we can be a little more perfect than we are apart. We are here to try and figure this out together. Look, I don't know how you got here this morning. I don't know the meandering path you took. And we can just focus on the how and the where and the when you came to faith, or the who and who brought you along. But at some point, we've got to be reminded of the why. At some point, we have to remind each other why we do this in the first place. And it's simply this: because the journey itself leads to life. That is the promise of Jesus Christ. Love leads to life. Full stop. When we love, we find life, not at death, but right now. We're not waiting for that destination. While we walk step by step on that journey, we find ourselves coming alive. But we don't have to figure it out alone. The choice is ours. Look, however you got here, whatever meandering, long and winding path, long and winding road you took to get here, somehow you're here. In person or on the live stream, somehow your journey of faith led you to this moment. But where you go from here is up to you. No one gets to make the choice for you. You get to make it. Where you go from here is up to you. As Methodists, we believe in free will. That is, every single person, every single day gets to make a choice. Will we take a step towards life or away from it? The good news is that even if we veer off the path, even if we find ourselves on a detour completely and utterly lost, the gift of grace is that we are never more than one step away from the journey of faith. We're never more than a step away from the gift of life. We just have to take it. So who knows? Maybe the only thing you'll walk away with today is a winning streak at bulletin tic-tac-toe. But it could be so much more. Where did your journey of faith begin? Where will you go from here? Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.